Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so that you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Coming up here in approximately 20 minutes from now, will Joe Burrow refuse to play with the Bengals? 40 minutes from now, Champ and Chump. Coming up later on in the show, Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, on all things that are percolating around the Boston sports scene, including the Red Sox trying to sell their fan base on why the Mookie Betts trade was the right idea. A lot of damage control there. The waiting game with Tom Brady and the Celtics as a dark horse in the East. We've been talking about the Saints getting Drew Brees back. I think that makes the New Orleans Saints the NFC favorites to get to a Super Bowl. They've been knocking on the door the last 3 years. They've lost in the playoffs in crushing fashion each of those 3 years, but they went 13-3 last season. To me, they have one of the best rosters in football. I think they have the best roster in the NFC. They bring back a Hall of Fame quarterback who looked very effective throughout last season, despite what he looked like in the postseason. To me, the Saints have all of the pieces, defense, offense, skill position, quarterback, head coach, to be the favorites in the NFC. I think that the Niners take a step back after losing in a Super Bowl, as history tells us teams do. I think the Seahawks are good. The Cowboys are good. The Eagles, the Vikings, the Rams, they can all be good. The Packers should be good. I think the Saints will be great again. And Brees was that final piece to make me confident about that. I would not be confident at all with Taysom Hill nor Teddy Bridgewater for 16 games. But with Brees, absolutely. Sign me up. Aaron Judge yesterday at spring training had some pointed words for the Houston Astros, as basically every opponent has had this spring training.
You know, once it came out, you know, I was pretty mad, you know, to know that we were probably, you know, cheated out of a possibility of, you know, making it to the World Series. Because as a kid, that's, forget the individual awards, forget how many games you win, how many homers you hit. It's about, you know, winning a World Series. I just don't think it holds any value with you know, you cheated and you didn't earn it. You know, that's how I feel, is it wasn't earned. You know, it wasn't earned the way of, you know, playing the game right and fighting till the end and knowing that, you know, we're competing, we're competitors. And the biggest thing about competition is laying it all out in the line, and, you know, whoever's the better player, better person, you know, comes out on top.
So I think that Aaron Judge has every right to be PO'd about this. I think every opponent has every right to be PO'd about this. And there's a bunch of takeaways from every opponent taking their shot to the Astros. Number one, and we touched on this earlier in the week, it does suggest that if all of these players are willing to grandstand about how wrong the Astros were, then it certainly feels like the idea that, quote, everybody was doing this is blown out of proportion. Because if everybody was doing stuff like this and the Astros just pushed it a little farther, I don't think you would hear this type of anger from everybody, unless all of these guys are just playing theater here. But it feels like if you've got Mike Trout and Aaron Judge, Chris Bryant,
Cody Bellinger. These are four or five of the best players in baseball. If these guys are hot about this, it makes me believe that the Astros were on an island of the extent of what they did. J.D. Martinez of the Red Sox is saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't go so hard on them. Maybe we should move on, which makes me believe that he's worried that his Red Sox team a year later is going to be found of some significant cheating and that report to come out he's a little nervous about. But for the rest of baseball, they're all taking their shots, and it feels like, at least, that everybody in baseball thinks the Astros went way too far. So I think if you're an Astros fan, I actually feel sympathy here, because an Astros fan should be able to, after decades of horror, enjoy a World Series championship, and now that is being pulled into such question that it's hard to enjoy it. I think Astros fans getting defensive about this, saying it's a witch hunt, saying it's overblown, that's ridiculous, because the league is saying the Astros did this. And the Astros got off scot-free for doing this. Okay, you lost your manager and GM. You lost none of your players for any amount of games. If you're an Astros fan, I just can't see the argument of witch hunt, unfair, people are picking on us. You did the crime, and you didn't get punished. You should love this. For Aaron Judge to talk about 2017, and the MVP award, and that Jose Altuve's MVP is hollow. You know, I think part of this is the competitive nature of players. I'm out there grinding. We're all working hard. We're all taking strikeouts to heart. We're taking outs to heart. We're losing games, taking it to heart. It's hard. We get criticized a lot. Hitting the baseball in and of itself is a challenge. And to wear all of the work and the stress of it and then see a team get what you wanted to achieve and do so illegally, it just burns you like you didn't earn what I put in all the sweat equity for, so you don't deserve it. So I get that from a competitive standpoint at every turn of this. But I also think there is, and this isn't wrong, a selfish financial component here. And this isn't wrong. Aaron Judge and the rest of these guys that are Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, these guys are competing, Chris Bryant, for MVP awards and being the best players on World Series champions. You know what that means to your current employment? Your current finances and your post-career finances, being an MVP, which sometimes equates directly into being a Hall of Famer, or being a World Series champion, not only triggers bonus clauses in your contract or sets you up for the next contract at the bargaining table, but you get introduced as that. That's on your bio. It puts you in a different stratosphere. And when your playing career is done, to say you're a Hall of Famer is different. To say that you are a two-time MVP or an American League MVP and a World Series champion is different than saying that you were a great player but you didn't win an MVP and you didn't win a World Series. Those things matter in the larger scope of your career. And so is Aaron Judge right now thinking about his earnings in 2040? Maybe not. But I'll tell you this from being around players. When we go on Radio Row every year and we talk to NFL players that were Super Bowl champions versus non-Super Bowl champions, or our Hall of Famers versus non-Hall of Famers, that is a very important delineation for your Q rating after your career and your earnings and how other guys look at you. Where you are in the fraternity. We just had Tim Brown on the show, Super Bowl week. And he said, you know, I thought I was going to get in. I thought I was a first ballot Hall of Famer because everybody told me I was a first ballot Hall of Famer. And so I didn't really stress about it. And then I didn't get in. And I didn't get in again. And I didn't get in again. And now suddenly I desperately wanted in because I thought I was getting in. I was told I was getting in, and now I'm not getting in. And now I'm PO'd, and I really want to get in. And he said it was a whole mind game because you are measuring yourself against your peers and you're thinking of yourself in a certain way. And he wouldn't say this, but Tim Brown Hall of Famer makes more money post-career than Tim Brown non-Hall of Famer. It gets him invited into the elite of the elite. And that's a real thing because your playing career, while you make a ton of money, does end by the time you're 40, and then you've got the rest of your life to lead. And so I think a lot of these guys who are the best players in baseball are like, we're competing every week, every day, every game, every year against the very best. And it's really hard to be the best at what we do. And if you've got a little bit more edge than me, and that helps you hit 10 more home runs, 5 more home runs, get 10 more votes, 5 more votes, if that helps your team be one game better than us or a World Series better than us, and it makes you a 10-point batting average higher, and so you win the MVP, that's enough to leave these guys boiling hot. And I totally get it. Totally, 100% get it. Because, you know, the margin of how good these guys are comparatively to themselves is razor thin. They're all great. And, you know, Jose Altuve was really good before the Astros hypothetically started cheating. I mean, let's just say they started cheating in 2017. He was an all-star 4 times before that season. He was a really good hitter on really bad Astros teams that clearly weren't cheating because they were losing 110 games a season. But if you give Jose Altuve a little bit of an edge, illegally, and that makes him a little bit better than Aaron Judge, and thus wins him the American League MVP, and that's 1 foot closer to Cooperstown than Aaron Judge is, and gives him a World Series ring, and that's one. You know, Aaron Judge with an MVP and a World Series ring suddenly is a different type of cachet. I totally get it. And, you know, Mraz, there is the superstar fraternity that they all kind of, I think, they know where each other's coming from, and they generally protect one another when you're at that elite level. When you see superstars going after the Astros, I think it means that those little advantages the Astros got, those guys are thinking about it competitively and financially.
Yeah, both. And again, I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. This actually makes me excited and relieved as a baseball fan to know that these players care on a competitive level to the extent that fans will care about being robbed and cheated. And I think there's something to that. We have now become this culture where no matter what, every team and every player has to love every team and every player. You don't see the Ray Fossey, Pete Rose fights anymore. And the idea that Aaron Judge and Clay Bellinger and run down the line of all these stars are ticked off at guys like Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve and publicly letting them know this is Bush. I think this is actually a good breath of fresh air into baseball that, as a fan, I am watching this and knowing that these guys are ticked off about money, finances, and the fact that they do want to win as badly as we do when we sit on a couch and pop open a beer, throw our feet up to watch 9 innings. They care like we care when we're out debating in the newsroom, and there's something to be said for that.
And they're not towing the company line.
Yes.
Baseball has forever been bland because nobody ever had much personality, no opinions. It was just like one guy after the other had no charisma, and all of these guys showing some backbone, refreshing.
Yeah, and you know what? If you really want to now kill baseball here on the back end of this, you haven't done your annual segment that you do every year around this time, which is why does baseball not know how to figure out this schedule? They put the schedule out in August, all this. You know, the Astros don't come to Yankee Stadium until the last series of the year this year.
Brutal.
I mean, and by then, we've played 150 games. We've seen there. I'm sure there's been a million Astro plunkings. We'll be over it, right? You would assume that when you get to the end of September, when, by the way, a lot of us are invested in football and the pennant races have been figured out.
That's
brutal. We'll be over the Yankee-Astro thing, and we won't see the Astros face the crowd in Yankee Stadium, know that they were the ALCS team, Rob, until the last weekend of the baseball season.
That's criminal. So the Yankees go to Houston during the season.
I think they go to Houston in like May. But again, there's a little more cachet to the idea that the Astros have to go on the road.
Oh, no question. I mean, if you're baseball, you build Astros at Yankees because Yankee Stadium is right. Yankee Stadium. It's New York. You put it on a weekend in June or July where you can own that weekend.
Right.
That's ridiculous
right. Now,
that baseball didn't do that.
Baseball might argue the fact that, well, we know the Astros and Yankees have been in the ALCS two of the last 3 years, so maybe we wanted to make sure the series maybe had some importance for home field at the end.
No!
But still,
you can't guarantee any part of that.
Right, you can't. And look, I know
baseball. And then that's September when it's football season.
Right, we're engulfed in football. You know, it'll be background noise, and we'll recharge back in for October.
They're
but
the worst.
If we had a June or July post-NBA Finals, Yankees-Astros series for a weekend in Yankee Stadium, the Astros having to come into Yankee, that is your Sunday night baseball, your Fox on your Saturday. You have some real regular season baseball juice. And because they put out this stupid schedule in August, for whatever reason, we don't even get that till the end of September.
Look, I'm not saying that baseball could have seen this unfolding the way that it did.
Sure.
But putting the Astros in L.A. against the Dodgers, putting the Astros in New York against the Yankees are no-brainers.
Right.
And because baseball scheduling is perennially the worst out of the four pro sports, they miss these opportunities. Just these are hanging curveballs that they miss constantly.
Oh. And this is what makes the NBA different. They sell star power. They sell matchups.
Sure.
We get these commercials every week for your Saturday night primetime NBA game, and it's never about what team is facing what team. It's watch James Harden take on Kemba Walker. You know, build it up like it's a big rivalry. Baseball, if they wait to put out this damn schedule, could have the Astros as the ultimate wrestling heel all year, like a traveling circus. And instead, it's out. Okay, we'll get to the Astros in Yankee Stadium when we get to it. It's ridiculous.
And even without knowing the Astros fallout, to not have the Astros at Yankee Stadium, which is the, everybody knows coming into the season, that is what the ALCS will probably be. Those are the two best teams in baseball. To not have an ALCS preview at your most notable ballpark, maybe aside from Fenway and Wrigley, to not have it at all scheduled until football season is so tone deaf and ridiculous. They are the worst. The absolute worst at scheduling.
The worst. This is a good thing for baseball, this Astros scandal, from the standpoint of people are talking about baseball now, February. They've owned this time that's usually a dead time. And instead of owning their actual season, you know, whatever. When we get to the Astros, we get to them. It's terrible.
God, they're the worst. When we come back here on the show, Joe Burrow, will he end up playing in Cincinnati? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's Permission Granted podcast.
You kind of admitted that you're just doing as much work as you used to.
I'm admitting that because I'm having fun.
No,
the truth. I could always do more because I think anybody could do more. I think what's happened is I have worked on a show for 7 years and it is very much a well-oiled machine that sometimes maybe you need to change the transmission or something like that. And I think because it's a well-oiled machine, a lot of what I do and what you have installed in me, which you did because I don't know what the hell I was doing at the beginning, honestly, I think a lot of it comes easy to me, that I'm pretty efficient in what I do.
Download the PGP today on iTunes and play.it or listen at daoncbs.com and the show's Facebook page, Zap.
I highly encourage the nearly 1 hour sit-down interview that I did with Mraz on side A with the PGP, questioning his work ethic, his desire, taking things easy now that he's been promoted to a pseudo-talent level here at CBS Sports Radio. And I can't tell, honestly, I have not listened back to it yet, I cannot tell whether Mraz properly defended himself or just talked me into circles because he's a really good salesman. I don't know. And I give you credit for that because you left me thinking that maybe I was wrong. You put some doubt in my mind, so you'd be a pretty good lawyer.
You were wrong. You're listening to one person that tweeted you and said, I didn't answer an actual question. I talked in circles. Where I think the overall Twitter reaction had been very positive my way.
But I'm listening there to that clip as well, and that does feel like you got me in circles.
It's not... You have to pick a lane. I'm allowed to... If I explain myself, that's not talking in circles. I'm explaining myself.
I know. I don't quite know, though, if your explaining of yourself actually made a ton of sense.
You got to make dollars to make sense.
That you're so good at your job that it comes easy to you, so you make it look like you're not doing work. That feels like a sleight of hand argument.
Well, no. I guess my point would be for what some of the other, you know, show ponies you trotted in here last week, for what might take them, let's say, a half an hour to do, it takes me 15 minutes to do.
Here's the thing. I'm not mad at you anymore, so I'm happy about that.
Okay.
I will say, I was annoyed at your tweet, though, yesterday, when you wanted to take bows for creating the Best Of podcast and how quickly you were able to do it.
Well, look.
That's just such poor form. Like,
it was said in, it was said to get that jest of, look at, it was a Gronk spike.
And it's just such poor form. Because a listener asked us if we could put together a Best Of DA Show podcast because we'd only done the full 4 hours. And Mraz initially resisted it, resented it, was frustrated by the idea of having to do more work. Then put it together and crowed about it on Twitter about it only got him, it only took him 18 minutes after the show.
That's the joke.
And so it is aggravating because if it only took you 18 minutes, why would you be so frustrated about the added workload?
I'm all for more work.
It only makes the whole previous 6 years more aggravating.
Here comes the but. You know what? I hadn't looked at it that way. The point of my tweet was kind of like, that was like the joke about the joke. Like I was so frustrated by this, but you know what? In the end, look, I told you so. I could get stuff done efficiently.
Again, I don't know if you're just talking in circles or if that's a real defense.
It's probably neither.
It is probably neither.
It's probably neither.
Yeah, I think that might be your weapon.
I tweeted that to be funny to the listeners who have been coming at me about my work ethic. Not about you, Bogus, or anybody else coming at my work ethic. The nonstop abuse I've taken from listeners who don't know my work ethic, that's who that was a shot at.
Well, we now have a Best Of DA Show podcast, which is approximately an hour, hour and 15 minutes.
It's about an hour 50. So, in any way, just the background on that, yesterday the spitball number of an hour and a half was thrown out, like a 90-minute podcast. I think the length will always be around that hour 15, hour and a half. I don't think we have to put a set like number on that. It's just I have a method of what I felt would work as a best of in slicing things down, and that's what it came out to yesterday.
Okay, so we have this up on the podcast page. If you want to just hear the best of, we're going to do this for a month, measure the metrics, see if it's popular enough to keep doing. And our poll question today is, will you listen to the Best Of the DA Show podcast now that Mraz has actually done some work and created it? Right now, 60% of you say no.
Out of spite to Sean?
Right. Is that a spiteful not listen?
There's actually a lot of people that listen to the full 4 hours. And some of the feedback we got on Twitter was that you can't quite get the show if you don't listen to the full show. It doesn't do it justice to just listen to 90 minutes. But most people don't have 4 full hours to listen to the show. So we are interested to see if there is a if there's an audience out there. Right now, 60% of you say no. However, it looks like Pete the Body's trying to dance on your grave here.
Yeah, another guy. Sit it out.
So what did Pete the Body do?
Pete the Body came back and he quote tweeted the poll that had no and he won't. Overwhelming with a question mark, because I don't think Pete quite gets the idea that like this is more work for me. So now I came back at Pete and said, Pete, you better vote no because this is just more work for you since you put up the podcast. And now he's all ticked off that he thinks I'm passing the buck. So now I've clearly trying to ruin Pete's vacation and I hope he has a good week.
The other guy.
It looks like you, but a little off.
Because you know what's going to happen? He's going to come in here Monday on vacation and go, and what do you mean we have to do another podcast now? I put up the podcast, and now I got to do more work because you're a buffoon, and you can't do work. So just because you created it, now I got to do more work.
And I'm going to see what? Pete first on Monday on the train here.
Yeah.
And that is exactly how he is going to greet me on the platform. Not how was your trip, not a rundown of his trip to which some Carolina he's in right now, north or south, I can't remember. But it will eventually quickly become, can you believe this putts again?
Now, I want to ask you, Bogus, yesterday's poll question was, who's the more annoying character, Flo or Pete the Body?
No, Flo.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Flo won that overwhelming.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. And this weekend, two full days of college basketball on CBS. A Saturday triple header begins at noon Eastern, Tennessee at 13th-ranked Auburn. A Sunday afternoon doubleheader, including Big East action between St. John's and number 16 Seton Hall, followed by 7th-ranked Maryland meeting Ohio State in the Big Ten. The March of the Tournament is only on CBS.
CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah!
Joe Burrow is not exactly giving Bengals fans a lot of hope here when asked whether he was going to play for the Cincinnati Bengals if they drafted him. His quote was, "I'll play for whoever wants to pay me to play." I absolutely believe that there is a growing probability. I shouldn't say probability because then that suggests that it's more likely than not. But there's a growing possibility, growing chance that Joe Burrow and Joe Burrow's dad tell the Bengals, do not draft us. Now, we had Carson Palmer on the show, Radio Row, Super Bowl week. And Carson Palmer told us that he thought he could change it around in Cincinnati. He got drafted number one overall after a Heisman. He had the youthful arrogance to say, I can do this. And ultimately, he realized, I can't.
That's why I wanted out, is I never felt like the organization was really trying to win a Super Bowl and really chasing a Super Bowl. Because that's what today's day and age is. The game today is you can't just hope you draft well and not go after free agents and you end up in the Super Bowl. You got to go get it. And I then went and played for Michael Bidwell in Arizona, and Michael was all about winning. Everything was about winning. The culture was about winning. And we, you know, very fortunately, you know, the year before I got to Arizona, I think they'd won a couple games or three or four games. And Michael Bidwell dug his feet in the ground, and I saw an owner say, we're going to go after this. We're going to do what it takes to win. And at the end of the day, when owners do what it takes to win and have that type of mentality and everybody's on board, you know, I saw it right before my eyes.
It feels like there's a louder drumbeat by the day of Burrow not playing for the Bengals. Now, I don't know. I mean, this also takes into account not caring if you're persona non grata and the villain. And remember, I mean, Joe Burrow's from Southern Ohio. Not exactly just down the road from Cincinnati, but a couple of hours' drive. So he's going to take goodwill within his own home state and flush it down the toilet to force his way out of town when the Bengals have the number one pick. I would not resent Joe Burrow at all if he did this. Because successful quarterbacking oftentimes is about being surrounded by the right people and circumstance. You know, Drew Brees, had he gone to the Dolphins, probably not a Hall of Famer. He goes to the Saints, he's a first ballot Canton guy. Tom Brady could have got drafted by 31 other teams. He ends up with the best defensive mind perhaps ever in NFL history on a veteran team that had a great defense that was in the Super Bowl 4 or 5 years earlier. Dan Marino was perhaps the most gifted passer in NFL history. And he went to a Super Bowl when the team actually had vestiges of a good defense. As soon as he gets into the middle of his career and they can't draft well and they can't support him, he never sniffs another Super Bowl. So if Joe Burrow looks at this and his dad played professional football in Canada, knows the game, knows the sport, if Joe Burrow and his dad, like Archie Manning, thought about Eli, hey, I don't want you in a New Orleans Saints 1980 situation that I was in. John Elway refused to go to the Baltimore Colts, ends up in Denver. If Joe Burrow's dad says, I can see the writing on the wall, I don't want you playing there because it's going to be a mess, and Burrow has the stomach to be the villain in his own home state, then I would have no problem with him saying, no, I'm not doing it, because the Bengals have never proven that they are willing to build a winner around a player. Now, they've had some good teams, but they were never willing to go the extra mile. And does Zach Taylor make you believe that he's a guy that's going to get things turned around? Mike Brown is a penny pincher. Everybody in the NFL knows that they have the most shallow scouting department in the NFL. They oftentimes draft well, but in terms of investment in your infrastructure and doing what it takes to win Super Bowls, the Bengals have never been known how to do that. Never been known. And Mike Brown is looked at as probably the cheapest owner in the sport. If Burrow says, you know, I can't win here and I'm not going to play there, I can't blame him. Who knows what his heart is? But Carson Palmer said, hey, one man can't do it alone. And this Bengals team is really bad right now. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Scott's in North Carolina, 100.3. Good morning, Scott.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How you doing?
Very good. I just want to give everybody on that show props for doing a really good job.
Well, that's nice of you. Thank you.
I love you in the mornings now. It's great. Sometimes we get interesting conversations with the kids on the way to school because of y'all. But Morath does a great job.
Are they tough conversations or fun conversations? Like, are these
teaching
moments?
Some, yes. It's great. And I don't know, I think you said something about it earlier. It's great that you're talking about baseball right now, but it's so sad what we're talking about.
You know, I think, though, that ultimately this has actually been slightly good for baseball, even though we've all been very critical. It's kind of impossible not to be really critical of Rob Manfred, the lack of punishment. The fact that baseball has this kind of really juicy story now does make it far more interesting, because without the Astros cheating scandal, I don't know how many people are really all that excited for 2020 baseball. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. So, it's good to have Andrew Bogusch back. Marco Belletti was great. Brad Heller was very, very good. But nothing like having Bogusch back. The kind sir is here with heavy guitar licks and sports headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Damon. It didn't really make sense from day one. John Beilein leaving all his college success to take over the rebuilding Cavaliers. That flawed marriage is ending after just 54 games, with the team and coach reportedly reaching a settlement for the rest of this season. Beilein's contract was for 5 years with an annual average value of $4 million. Assistant J.B. Bickerstaff will be promoted to head coach full-time. Nets guard Kyrie Irving will not return from the All-Star break tomorrow with the rest of his teammates. Irving again dealing with shoulder discomfort and will see a specialist this week. That shoulder has already cost Kyrie 26 games this season. He also missed the 5 games going into the All-Star break with a sprained knee. And veteran guard Reggie Jackson bought out in Detroit. He'll sign with the Clippers once he clears waivers.
The straw that stirs the Clippers, that Reggie Jackson.
That Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
Yes. Clippers get better, a little deeper,
I guess.
Six top 10 teams in action last night in college hoops. Only number 9 Penn State didn't win.
And Dosumu has it out top with 10. 58-56 Illinois down the lane. Floater! Oh! Put it up and in! Count it, it's good! 60-56.
And just a few seconds later,
rebound inside to Monte Williams, and the Illini have stolen one in Happy Valley. How do you like that?
You know, I'm good either way. You know, Illinois wins, they don't. I'm fine. Yeah. Brian Barnhart from Learfield IMG College.
Illinois.
Those Illini 62-56 win.
You missed that on Tuesday. On Monday, Heller called the Fighting Illini the Illinois.
Illinois.
Well, as the internet voice of the NCAA tournament, Brad might want to get that straight.
Are the Illini going to be in the tournament?
Well, they might not be, but no, they're not going to be, but they still could come up in conversation. Maybe they kept somebody out with a win like this. Who knows?
Right, because he does pregame, postgame hosting for Westwood One on the NCAA tournament and conference tournaments. If there's a Big Ten championship game,
this is true.
He could probably be caught in some type of, well, Ohio State had a win
Illini.
On against the Illinois.
He's admitted to only doing this gig anymore, though, because they bring desserts in for him. They do a dessert bracket.
Well, you know what?
Oh, okay.
Top-ranked Baylor took care of Oklahoma, 65-54, extending its win streak to 23. Number 5, Dayton, escaped VCU, 66-61. 7th-ranked Maryland down Northwestern, 76-67. Number 8, FSU, handled Pitt, 82-67. And number 10, Kentucky, fought off LSU, 79-76. The Wildcats have now won 5 in a row, 8 of 9.
It's pronounced Wildcats.
Oh, excuse me.
Kentucky Wildcats.
Thanks, Brad.
Solomon Illinois.
Solomon Kentucky Wildcats.
This was the most likely outcome. Drew Brees will play 2020. It'll be his 20th NFL season. He'll need a new contract with the Saints. Former Panthers tight end Greg Olsen is choosing Seattle over Washington, Buffalo, and TV work. Olsen's one-year deal said to be worth $7 million with $5.5 million guaranteed. And now, guys, it is time to be...
Wait, I think that's next hour? Is it next hour? I think we had Stunned to a News next hour.
Sean said when I walked in at 7, it said the next one. So I thought that meant the next one.
Wow, pathetic miss by Mraz.
This is on me. I have written it down wrong on my sheet.
Oh, God. So we'll do Stunned to a News an hour from now.
You see, all the extra work has totally fried my brain.
Premature Stunned to a News zaculation.
I'm more stunned that he accepted blame for this immediately.
Wow. Knew me. This is there's no excuse. This is you came in and asked me something, and now that I see, I read what I wrote down wrong. I have screwed up this segment.
But I don't want to give him credit for screwing up because he admits he screwed up.
There's no credit here. I screwed up.
Okay.
And that's it. There's no, hey, thank you for apologizing. I screwed this up right now. I am so sorry.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm not prepared
for. I feel so bad.
How long was I gone for?
A lot happened.
A lot happened.
A lot happened, Andrew.
No, this is this can't happen again.
Whoa.
I mean, I thought for 5 days.
Wow.
There's new lights in this studio. Sean's an adult. What is going on?
We're like the Barney's Packers now.
No, I have faced a lot of criticism. For me to flop like that and give bogus wrong information is unacceptable today. Unacceptable. Where does the salt go?
It covers the times on your rundown, apparently.
Okay. Well, I guess that's a win, actually. In some ways, that's a win.
No, it's a loss, because now the segment's been thrown off, and I caused that.
Again.
This is amazing. I love this new Mraz. Forget it. We're a machine now. If we have a focused, accountable Mraz, there is no weakness on this show.
I mean, I am stunned to this news.
This is the most stunning news you could have had.
I don't even know what to say. He's taking responsibility for a mistake that actually, I mean...
And strongly.
And yeah. And immediately. No coaxing, no explaining, no fighting.
No, because Bogus came in here and said, what time are we doing Stunned? No more than 40 minutes ago.
Right.
And I briefly looked at my paper, and if I just took the extra 2 seconds to review the grid properly, I would have given him the proper information, but I blew it off quickly and just said, next segment. And that's a bad job. I mean, I need to look down, just take the extra 2 seconds instead of just rushing something out of my mouth. And I didn't do that, and now we've screwed up the last 6 minutes of this show.
Well, I applaud you for that tack. I also say I think Chicken Pesto Lady's legacy is far beyond coaching him into an SAT score.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it changed his life.
This is not a 12 DA, but it's like there should be some kind of honorable mention of this when we get to December that Sean made a mistake and immediately took the blame for the mistake and pointed no fingers.
It's the total opposite of the Year of the Buffoon, and it's almost like at the Oscars, the memorial when people die. It's like a certain thing died on the DA show on February 19th. Lack of accountability now.
Old Sean died.
We'll see.
New Sean's here.
Continues. All right. Thank you, Andrew. When we return, we have a champ and a chump. Also, coming up next hour, we are stunned to a news. So we'll do that coming up next hour. Yeah, we will. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good.
good value, big upside.
I look at the clips of you guys, and I could listen to you guys talk for hours.
No, you smell butts.
That's all, folks.
DA, that is.
You're right.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
49 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate you being with us. And our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico, 855-212-4227. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. So many ways you can listen to the show. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network. Check us out. Hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also, you can listen to us on SiriusXM, channel 206. Also, check us out on your phone. Stream us using the radio.com app, Apple Music, the CBS Sports app, or other places that radio is streamed. Alex is next up in San Antonio, radio.com. He was the one yesterday that suggested the Best of DA Show podcast, which originally got Mraz very upset that he had more work to do, but ultimately he got a product out of it. Alex, good morning.
Morning, DA. How you doing?
I'm great, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good. I just wanted to say a couple things. I wanted to tell Sean, thanks for making my idea come to life. I got an opportunity to listen to the Best of DA Show podcast yesterday on my drive home from work. It was great. And then also, DA, I wanted to tell you thanks for the Venmo. Next time you come to San Antonio, the barbecue and beers are on me. Appreciate it.
You got it, man. Absolutely. I need barbecue, beers, San Antonio. Sign me up.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Coming up here next hour on the show, Tom Thibodeau connected to the New York Knicks. Could he actually save things? Also, we are stunned to a news, and Teddy Bridgewater has a chance to be a franchise quarterback this offseason now that Drew Brees is coming back. And in hour number four, Dan Shaughnessy is going to join us, Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. Jane tweets, DA, you said last segment that MLB missed a hanging curve in front of them for terrible scheduling. Maybe they just needed a garbage can. Ba-da-bum. Upside down Mike tweets, this hate on Mraz is not fair. He's a leader by nature. A first guy in, last guy to leave. A stays laid watching film guy. A take accountability type of guy. Hashtag, it clears it. Upside down Mike is clearly trolling you.
Well,
because none of those things are true.
I'm the first one in.
Okay.
I got one thing right.
Okay. Fritz tweets, DA, not a baseball fan, but how is the Astros cheating any different than Sammy Sosa or Mark McGwire juicing? Well, it's an interesting comp. I've talked about this before. I actually think that the Astros cheating is not as bad as steroids because steroids turn those guys into monsters, and nobody in the Astros is right now hitting 400 or 73 home runs or driving in 190 RBIs and is unpitchable to. So I don't think it gained them the advantage that steroids did for those other guys. But from a team-wide standpoint, look, they were the guys that were pushing it farther that clearly than anybody else in baseball and deserve severe repercussions, which they're not getting. Let's get to your champ and your chump.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's champ or chump.
Your champ today is Adam Silver because the NBA All-Star Game and the NBA All-Star Weekend was a very honored and honorable tribute to Kobe. I thought they handled it really well. I thought the tone was correct. The All-Star Game format was a big win. People loved it. I think that Adam Silver listened to his constituency, listened to his players. They brought him the idea of the Elam ending. It really worked well, and the tributes to Kobe were very thoughtful. And so I thought the whole thing worked. Adam Silver, you're a champ.
That's DA's champ.
Your chump is Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, who stuck his foot in his mouth this week by saying that the World Series trophy is just a piece of metal. He had to apologize for that yesterday. But, I mean, frankly, Rob Manfred has just stepped in all types of doggy doo-doo because of how he's handled this situation. He is the chump this morning.
That's DA's chump.
Class is now dismissed.
A tale of two commissioners when we come back. Teddy Bridgewater is no longer going to be the guy in New Orleans now that Breeze is coming back and he's a free agent. So would you make Bridgewater your franchise QB? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.